Significant Business Results Radio features concise and compelling interviews with entrepreneurs and business leaders. Listen as they identify factors that drive innovation and measure significant business results. Be inspired and influenced by their insights and outcomes. Hosted by Fran McNeil, President of Significant Business Results, LLC.
Well, good morning and welcome to Significant Business Results Radio. I'm your host, Fran McNeil, and joining me in the virtual studio is Jennifer Robinson of Purposeful Networking. Jennifer, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure. We have been having a great conversation before we got on air, and now it's time to bring in the audience. It's a wonderful way to welcome a very fall morning here in the Philadelphia area. So, Jennifer, you are, as you shared with me off air, in a sense, an accidental entrepreneur that wasn't necessarily in your cards when you originally started your business. But take us back. Take us back to what was the significant story that got you on the path of being an entrepreneur? And then that way our listeners can get a better sense of who you are and why you do what you do.
Sure. So I was a litigator. I worked in-house for large insurance companies doing trials and hearings, being in a courtroom most of the time. And in 2008, I had a very significant life-changing accident. I was in Center City as a pedestrian, and I got hit and pinned underneath a truck, and I'm literally lucky to be here. So because of that, I suffered very serious physical and mental injuries, including a traumatic brain injury that resulted in cognitive impairments that basically took me out of the courtroom and into a desk job at my company. Because of everything else I was going through, you know, as far as post-traumatic stress and depression, that actually sunk me deeper into a hole. And I realized that I really had to get out, that just mentally it was not the place I needed to be anymore. It was very frustrating, you know, obviously trying to get all the help that I could, but being told I had to get used to the new normal and that I was lucky that I had a high-functioning disability and didn't have severe brain trauma. And on the one hand, of course, you get that. But on the other hand, you know, you think, you know, I'm 34 years old and I don't want to feel like I have limitations for the rest of my life. But I did at the time. And, you know, I left my position in the corporate world with really no plan, no plan B, no idea what I was going to do. And ultimately, I decided to start a business putting nonprofits and businesses together. I've really been involved in nonprofit causes since I was a young child. And even with all the corporations I worked for as an attorney, that was something that was at the forefront for me, not only outside of work, but even within the companies. Like, for example, at AAA Mid-Atlantic, I was on their volunteerism committee, and I helped plan all their Philadelphia initiatives that they did in that area. So, you know, it was something that was always a priority to me, and I saw a need for helping to put, like I said, the nonprofits and businesses together. And that's initially what I started the business doing.
And people often do that. They sort of work in their comfort zone and their strength zone. But let's go back for a moment to the accident. I mean, you explain that as if it were ages ago and as if you've, in a sense, gotten over it. And I'm just impressed at the magnitude of the injury and the fact that you were able to get through depression, to get through physical therapy, and to set your own new normal as opposed to having it defined by the doctors. Talk to us about that strength, that resilience, that purpose, because not everyone comes through literally being pinned under a truck to being a vibrant individual that helps others literally get on their feet and get moving.
I think the biggest thing for me to realize over the course of the couple of years following the accident was that it was not going to be something I could manage myself. As I said, I was in a really dark place. I don't want to give the impression that I was positive about the outlook for things in my life. You know, I think initially when you survive something like that, there's an initial feeling of being blessed. You know, I was saved. People die every day getting hit hit and runs and getting hit on the street, and I didn't. So there's that initial euphoria of, why am I here? What is my greater purpose? You know, why did I survive? And then there's a lot of other things that come along with that are very negative, a lot of anger. Why did this happen to me? Why am I going through this? Why is everybody else around me living, a quote-unquote normal life, and, I'm dealing with all this other stuff as a result of my trauma? So I think for me it was realizing how much help that I needed to get back on my feet, and also how much the connection actually helped, which I think moves a little bit into why, I focused on the networking. I think for me, I became very isolated, which was not the person I was before the accident. I stopped seeing most people. I stopped returning most calls. I really actually couldn't even tell you what I did with most of my time when I wasn't at rehab. I would literally stare at the walls. So, for me to start a business and try to get more involved and back into society and start connecting with people really, I feel, kind of saved my life, and really helped me to get back to who I was and actually a better person, I think, in a lot of ways than I was before the accident. So I think, one of the questions that always sticks with me, one time I was sitting at my therapist and I was really struggling with whether to leave my litigation job at the time. I'd been struggling with it for a while. I knew in my heart it was the right thing to do for so many reasons, but I didn't want to do it. And she said something to me around, the question of, why do you feel like your whole identity is as an attorney? If you're not an attorney, who are you? And, nobody in my life had actually asked me that. And to be honest, I didn't have an answer. I didn't really know who I was. If I wasn't going to be an attorney at that time, that was how I defined myself. If people asked me, tell about myself, I would say, I'm an attorney, I'm a litigator. So when she posed that question to me, who are you outside of being an attorney? Because you have all kinds of positive traits, as do everyone, you're so much else besides that. And I want you to start focusing on those things. I think that really helps me.
Wow. And I, again, really appreciate you sharing that. So that's a wonderful backdrop now into what you do now. Your business is called Purposeful Networking. So, of course, one of my first questions is, how do you define networking? Because we hear networking a lot in the business environment.
I think a lot of people have a negative connotation of what networking is because they kind of think of their worst experience, somebody who was overly salesy or was kind of in their face or, kind of throwing business cards at people and moving on. But to me, networking is about building and maintaining authentic relationships. And so much of it, I think, is about the personal connection with people and not so much about sort of those businessy aspects that you associate with traditional business networking events. It's really getting to the heart of who people are, underneath it all and, building from that and making those authentic connections.
And you shared earlier one of the questions that the therapist asks you is essentially, who are you? And so when you're working with clients, how do you help them identify who they are such that when they show up at a networking event, they can be who they are and not feel intimidated?
I think for a lot of people, it's really just reiterating and giving them that permission that it's okay to come to a networking event and be yourself. It's okay to spend your time discussing your kids with people or, your trip to Japan or your love of running or, for me, it's my rescue dogs. If you get me talking about them, that could be a 45-minute conversation. It's whatever is important to you. It is not so much about what you do or what the other person does. I get it. People will look at what I'm saying and say, but we're paying money and taking time and we want to be efficient and strategic. And I get it. Overall, we're looking to do business for our businesses, our companies. But that first encounter, is really a jump-off point for making a great first impression and making that connection. And there's always ways to build from that are going to involve more of sort of the professional business aspect. And I really just tell people to get personal and ask questions of people that are going to open them up and really listen to what they're saying and what makes them tick and what they're passionate about.
So can you give us some examples? That's great advice. Get personal, ask questions that get people to open themselves up, and really listen. So three great nuggets. What might that sound like if someone is listening and going, well, I'm an introverted entrepreneur, or, you know, I've had a long day at work or in the office or networking, and I'm going to this event because I paid for it, but I'm just not feeling it. How do I get someone else to open up?
So actually, the first thing I would say in response to that, and, you know, people laugh when I say this in some of my talks, is even if you've paid for a networking event, if you get to the end of that day and it's been a particularly bad day and you're in a particularly bad or tired mood, my recommendation would be go to the event. Not everybody is able to get themselves out of that slump, and it takes 3 seconds or less to make a first impression. So if you feel like you can't really kind of turn it on and, you know, be more positive about, you know, the way your day's been going and really get engaged into conversations, I think it would be better to actually skip the event because it can take months to undo a bad first impression. So that's the first thing I would say. As far as your question about, you know, what do you ask, I think it's really, you know, we default, and I do this as well, I'm guilty of this as well, of asking people, you know, hi, what's your name and what do you do? That's kind of the standard question at networking events. And that's okay. It's not like it's a, you know, controversial or dangerous question, but it would be much better to ask people something simple like, how has your day been? Or how did you get into the industry that you're in? Or what projects are you working on right now? Because those are things that are going to open people up. And you're also going to be able to listen for, you know, what are their pain points? What are their challenges? What might you be able to step in and help them with as far as referrals or recommendations or invitations to events or connections? You want to try to elicit as much information as you can. So, you know, even just asking those simple questions, you'd be shocked at how much information can come from how has your day been. So, I mean, just thinking about those kinds of questions, right, because that's a very open-ended question. So people can really respond with that however they want, right?
So what's the most surprising response to that? And it can be a positive or a negative, but when you've asked someone, how's your day been? Where have you, when have you been like, oh, my goodness, I did not expect that answer.
Well, you know, it's not even so much not expecting the answer. I think it's refreshing how some people will really just grab onto that. Like somebody will say, you know, oh, my God, from the moment I woke up this morning, it was just like the worst day ever. You know, my heel broke, and then I spilled my coffee in the car, and then I was late to every meeting, and, you know, I didn't make it to my kid's game or whatever it is. And it'll just, you know, it'll almost be like a stream of consciousness. Like nobody has actually stopped and asked me how my day was, and you're the first person, and thank you for letting me get it all out, you know? But you'll get some great nuggets in that answer, you know, that will help you really relate to the person and maybe share some of your own personal stuff and make you feel like it's okay to do so. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Oh, that's great. And as I'm listening to you, I smile because it's hard for someone not to be authentic. If they're feeling grumpy, they'll say, I've had a bad day. And, you know, then you can think, gosh, I've had those too. How about the question of how did you get into the industry? What made you choose that, or why do you suggest that as a possible opening question?
I think more than asking people what they do, you know, unfortunately, there's a large segment of the population, as we know, who doesn't like their jobs. They don't like what they're doing. Maybe they're unhappy at their company, but ultimately when you ask them why they're in that field or the industry or, you know, what made them get into it, why they're passionate about it, why it's meaningful to them, that's something that they can really grab onto. You know, maybe they've always had a love for marketing and communication, but their current position, you know, is just really something they're not happy with. It doesn't mean they're not happy and passionate about the industry that they chose to go in. So I think trying to get people to open up into that is a better, you know, way to approach it than just asking the where do you work, how do you, you know, what do you do kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah, because you're sort of focusing on the box as opposed to the big picture.
Exactly. And like I said, I think, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think also that as far as trying to be a problem solver, I think that can help listen to, you know, what's important to somebody. And if they are unhappy in their job and maybe they've mentioned that they're looking for a job or something, it just gives you more opportunity to try to find a way to help them.
Okay. And how about, I just want to delve into the third question, because these are great questions. That third question of what project are you working on? Are there times that you ask that? Is that a first question, or is that a second or third question? How do you manage that in the conversation?
Yeah, I think that's a second or third question. You know, asking people, you know, some of those general questions, like the how's your day been, or, you know, depending on the time of year, how was, you know, did you take a vacation over the summer? How were your holidays? You know, you can kind of substitute that with a more generalized question, depending on what time of year it is. And then asking people, you know, maybe about their industry, and then saying, you know, well, what do you have going on right now? Or, you know, it doesn't have to be specifically the project, but, you know, what do you have going on right now that you're excited about or that you're working on or that I might be able to help with? I think that is a second or third question.
Oh, great, great. Thanks for providing the tactical and practical. And, you know, as entrepreneurs, we learn anywhere and everywhere. And, you know, skill refreshing is refreshment is definitely important. Jennifer, I know I'm getting some texts. I'm an early bird, and folks know I do this show early in the morning. And folks are like, well, Fran, I've heard Jennifer Robinson. I've heard Purposeful Networking. But how can we get in touch with her? So, Jennifer, what's the best way for people to reach out to you or follow you out in on the Internet?
Sure. So, you know, certainly my website, purposefulnetworking.com. You can reach me on Twitter and Instagram under, you know, Are You Networked? And just like you, I host a local TV show called Mainline Connect. So I did start a YouTube channel under my business name, Purposeful Networking. So you can certainly learn a lot more tips there because all of my interviews are housed there. And I really feel like I interview some very interesting authors, entrepreneurs, and executives, and we always discuss networking and marketing tips as well during the interview so that we can help our audience.
Excellent. Talk to me about the Are You Networked as a Twitter handle. That's a question. As opposed
yeah,
to
I mean, it's a question. And, you know, I guess just kind of making people think about the fact of how's their network going? Did they have one? Are they really cultivating it and building it? So that's kind of where I got that from. You know, I want people to really think about those things. A lot of times in life, you know, you've always, you know, you hear people say you don't want to wait till you need a network to build your network. And I think that's why I had that question to kind of prompt people into that thinking. You always want to be building your network. If you're not looking for a job, you should still be building your network. You know, even if you're happy where you are, there's so many reasons to have a network, you know, as far as referral sources, people to call for advice, you know, people that might have opportunities for you that you might not see cross your path on your own, just to have, you know, good friends that you can call for personal or professional guidance. I mean, there's so many reasons to build a network, and I want people to always be thinking about that.
Wonderful. Again, the power of a question. So Are You Networked? Excellent, excellent Twitter handle. Jennifer, I often ask folks, what is a favorite quote that motivates them as a leader or is really reflective of their value system? So I'm curious to know, what kind of keeps you focused as a quote or a saying?
So the quote that I picked is actually an anonymous quote. I was not able to find online who said it, but it's one that I use a lot and really guides me, and it says, a simple hello can lead to so many things. So for me, you know, I think a lot of people have that fear of the initial approach and then talking to somebody they don't know, not even just at networking events, but just in our daily lives. I can't tell you how many stories I could tell you about myself and about other people who were on, you know, the Little League field with their kids or on Amtrak coming back from New York or D.C. or at their church or synagogue, and just opening up a dialogue, saying hello to people, led to a great opportunity or a great referral or something great for their business. So you really never know. You should try to take as many advantages as you can in your life of those opportunities. You know, it's always, even just standing in the grocery line, I mean, it's better to talk to people than just stand there and look at your, you know, food you're going to purchase. So, you know, take advantage, right? I mean, you know, so take advantage of those opportunities. Yeah, I mean,
Let's role play that right now because, again, tactical and practical, and I've seen you in action. So Other folks may not have had that advantage. But so here's the scenario. We're standing in line. I'm looking at the things that I've chosen, many of which are I should not be purchasing.
Sure.
And you're standing in front of me. And you probably have a more healthy selection. So,
no, I wouldn't say that.
What do I do?
So what do I do? I would probably grab onto something. I would look at what somebody's purchasing and maybe make a comment on it, you know, that might open a dialogue. You know, for example, I'll just pick something. Let's say they had Oreos. You know, I would say, oh, I'm a big fan of Oreos. Have you tried the new Oreo Thins? You know, they're actually a little healthier for you and you still feel like you're getting a treat. So, you know, I would try to grab onto something that they had there. And just kind of open a dialogue and just see where it goes, really. I mean, you're stuck in line. You may as well talk.
right.
Another thing fun to grab onto is, you know, you always have that newsstand still, you know, even in this day and age where people are on social media and read digital magazines. When you go to the market, there's always that area where there's, you know, the so-and-so gained 100 pounds and their husband's leaving them or, you know, here's the style for the new fall wardrobe or whatever it is. So that's always a conversation starter. You know, you're standing there, you're looking at these ridiculous covers. That's always a conversation starter. So I might talk about something we see on one of the covers.
Good point. I love it. The Oreos I could definitely identify with. And annoyingly so, they are always in that front section. So and as a brand, keep on coming up with different styles, so a great conversational starter. Would you repeat the quote again?
Where do I see? I couldn't hear what you said. I'm so sorry.
A simple hello. Because it'll bring the conversation.
A simple hello can lead to so many things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just reiterating that in your head in your daily life, you know, as opposed to just not making eye contact and walking by, what will it change in your life to say hello to somebody?
Great advice. Jennifer, as an entrepreneur, as an individual, you shared, and let's go back to some of the advice that you talked about, getting to know a person and what they're passionate about, it's really important. You shared a love of rescue dogs. Talk to us a little bit about that, and how does that impact you as a person? How does that make you a better person, or how does that bring joy in your life?
So I was somebody that did not grow up with any pets or particularly any dogs. My mom was afraid of dogs, and I think because of that, we all developed the fear of dogs. My husband, you know, I met him in the early 2000s, and, you know, obviously we weren't married then, and he said, I'm going to adopt a dog. And I said, if you adopt a dog, I'm going to break up with you because I hate dogs. I'm scared of them. And, you know, basically it will be a sign to me if you adopt this dog that you don't take this relationship seriously. So guess what? I went out the next day and adopted a dog. Right. So you know, maybe I should have taken that as a sign, but what happened was that I ended up smitten with this rescue dog within 2 days, realizing just how much animals can contribute to your life and your happiness because it's such unconditional love. And I think fast forward, you know, when I had my accident in 2008, I attended Bryn Mawr Rehab for a number of months out in Malvern, and people were really despondent, including myself, and one day a week they would bring in rescue dogs that were therapy dogs to the rehab facility, and I saw how much it changed people's interaction and outlook and, you know, how it put smiles on their faces just to have this unconditional love that was, you know, where they weren't focusing on their impairments or their therapy and just, you know, had an hour to just be a person and have some, you know, happiness in their life that was different from what was going on at the rehab. So for me, those dogs were a big, not only the therapy dogs, but the dogs I had at home at the time have and have continued to be a big part of my recovery and my happiness. And I think for a lot of people that are animal people, they have an immediate understanding of that. You know, you can have a super bad day and you get to your door and the dogs act like, you know, you've been to another planet for 6 months and they haven't seen you, even if it's been 10 minutes. They're always super happy to see you. And you know, they're never looking for anything except some love and attention, and you know, it's just a wonderful thing, I think. After all of that happened in 2008, I'm still not volunteering with them because I've gotten so busy, and you know, we all know how that works with running a business. But for a few years, mm-hmm. I did volunteer with an organization in Wayne called House for Life. And what they do is they bring mm-hmm. therapy dogs and other animals into senior care facilities, schools, colleges to help reduce stress during exams, things of that nature, because it was just really powerful to me the kind of impact that animals can have. So it's an organization that I still support financially, but I just haven't had the time to invest in it like I used mm-hmm. to a few years ago.
Wow. Pals for Life. Jennifer, it's really been a pleasure talking with you and listening to your journey. And it's fascinating how points of trauma, points of stress, literally accidents that can be devastating, can cause you to reframe what you do and in a lot of ways find your purpose. And in your business, Purposeful Networking, you help other people do things that they might not have done. We haven't talked about the 30-second pitch on purpose, but what would your 30-second pitch be about your business? And what, once again, would you share with people how they can get in touch with you?
So simply put, my 30-second pitch would be I help people improve their networking skills, and I help you to be more confident and comfortable with the networking that you do. For the most part, I go into companies, nonprofits, universities, and conferences, and I do anything from short talks to longer workshops on things like how to navigate networking events, how to make a great first impression, you know, how to follow up after networking events, and especially how to craft your elevator pitch. I do definitely cover that. So, you know, a lot of times I alter my elevator pitch. I think that's something that people should really keep in mind. If I have something going on with a nonprofit that I volunteer for, or an exciting event coming up, or maybe I want to help promote one of my friends, I really try to make that part of my elevator pitch as well, so it doesn't come across like the same thing all the time, and that I put something in that's personal.
Great. So, again, where can people find you on the web and Twitter and social media?
So, yeah, purposefulnetworking.com. You can also email me directly at jennifer@purposefulnetworking.com. And, again, the Twitter and Instagram handle is RUNetworked.
Wonderful. Jennifer, you shared a wealth of information. Love the question, the Twitter question, RUNetworked, because I totally agree with you. It helps folks think about networking and where they're going and how they cultivated their network. And one of the things that we talked about before we got on air is that you do a lot of speaking, both in nonprofits as well as for-profits and in the legal community. So you sort of come full circle in that regard. If people are interested in having you come to speak, what is kind of the most popular thing that they typically ask you to speak about?
I would say the most typical thing is kind of the networking 101 of how to network. So it's how to prepare for networking events, how to navigate them, kind of getting into a little bit of what we talked about of what to ask and how to hold conversations, some of those awkward issues that we face at networking events, how to enter group conversations without feeling like, you know, you're imposing on people, how to exit conversations gracefully, and then how to follow up because, you know, let's face it, even if you have great interactions with people at networking events, if you're not going to follow up, you've pretty much wasted your own time and everybody else's. So, you know, kind of that general talk about just kind of how to do those things. And I definitely also get asked kind of where to start. You know, a lot of people don't network but know they need to, so I give talks around that. And then, of course, the ROI of your networking efforts. You know, how do you decide if it's working? And when do you cut your losses?
Excellent. Well, Jennifer, I look forward to seeing you in the Philadelphia networking scene. And, again, just getting to know you better personally. And I will definitely be practicing that hello conversation in the grocery line. I find myself in the grocery line a lot, so that's a great place to start. Thanks again,
I'm
and have a wonderful rest of the morning.
Wonderful. Thank you
okay.
so much. Have a great day.
Take care.
Significant Business Results Radio features concise and compelling interviews with entrepreneurs and business leaders, hosted by Fran McNeil, President of Significant Business Results, LLC. Follow Significant Business Results Radio on blogtalkradio.com/significantbusinessresults.
Great energy, which I knew there would be. So, and thanks for sharing some of the tips. I think networking, often entrepreneurs say, I know how to do it, but the refreshers are helpful. So that was great. And when's the next time you're going to the Pyramid Club?